We're starting the second parak. Last time we finished the first parak. Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Yud Aleph Amid Beis. By you it's 11b2. This parak is the second Gemara. Yud Aleph Amid Beis. This is a completely different parak than the first one. This goes into a lot of mystical things in this parak of a Gemara. But the Mishnah starts off because based on what we'd learned before about forbidden relations and women that you're not allowed to marry and so on. So it says now, the Mishnah says as follows. In Darshan, by the way, there's an initial way of learning the Mishnah and then there's the way the Gemara learns the Mishnah. We're going to learn it first, the simple initial way of the Gemara. You're not allowed to learn the laws of forbidden relations amongst three people. And Rashi says what that means is one teacher and two students. That means you can't have a class of one teacher and two students talking about the forbidden illicit relations that the Torah forbids. And you're not allowed to discuss the creation of the world, Maisa Bereshis, meaning the act of creation, not with two people. V'leibe Merkava B'yachid, and you can't learn the story of the Merkava, which is the account of the chariot that Yechezkel HaNavi saw, the throne of God, that we read in the Haftarah on the first day of Shavuos. He says, you're not allowed to discuss it even alone. Eli Imkein, Hayachacham Umeven Midaitei. Unless if the person is very brilliant, a scholar, who would arrive at the understanding without the teacher, that means he just needs a teacher, so to speak, to help him along, but he really can come to the realization himself. And then the Mishnah says, Kala mistako barba dvarim, whoever looks into four things, whoever scrutinizes, whoever looks deeply into these four things, rasulai, it would have been better if he was never born. It means if you look into these four things, you should have never been born. What are the four things? Mala maila, and again, the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. But simply, what's above, what's below, malafnim, what's before, umala acher, what's after. Okay? That means, in simple means, what's before creation, what's after creation, what's above the earth, and what's below the earth. If you scrutinize, if you go deeply into these things, the Mishnah says you shouldn't have been born. And then the Mishnah concludes, B'chol sheleichas al kveid keine, whoever does not respect, give proper kovid and respect to Hashem, rasile shele b'le'elam, it would have been better if you would have never been born. Okay, now obviously, we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what this Mishnah means. What is Maisa Bereshis? What is Maisa Merkava? Taisis over here, it's interesting because there's a lot of Chassidus based on the Gemara in this upcoming, the next four or five pages. There's a lot of Chassidic concepts taken from this Gemara. In Chassidus, you have the name of God. That's called, sometimes it's called the Shem Mab, the name of 42. So Taisus says over here, what does it mean, the name of 42? In the first two psukim of Chumash, there's 42 letters. If you go, Bereshis bar lekim, Mesa shemayim v'artza aretz, v'haretz eisaseh v'vei v'cheshach p'nei sahim v'ruach alekim v'nachefes al p'nei amoyim, there's 42 letters. So it says, Taisus explains, what does it mean, whoever scrutinizes, whoever goes deeply into the act of creation, refers to somebody that goes into these godly things about how creation came about, before creation, after creation, what was the world higher, what's the world lower, what all this stuff means. So the Gemara said, if you look into any of these things, you shouldn't have been created. Now, we're going to see later in the Gemara exactly what does it mean, higher and lower. Okay, what do you mean higher in the world, lower in the world? So he says, some people learn what is below, meaning what's the highest, the malachim that are higher than the world, what's below the earth, or like somewhere Rashi says, what's below the earth, Some people say what something which is beyond understanding you shouldn't delve into. And some of Farshim say that he says like the Rambam gives an analogy. If you ever take a piece of paper with tiny, tiny, tiny letters that's very unclear to read, and you break your head trying to figure out what it says, not only don't you figure out what it says, but it ruins your eyes that you're not able to concentrate on something you are able to read. So he says that's what Rambam writes, is going into these things. They're so deep, you can't figure it out, and all it does is mess up your head. So the Mishnah says you shouldn't go into these things. So now the Gemara asks a question. It said in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Gemara, Amrit Bereisha, we just said at the beginning of the Mishnah, V'lei b'merkaveh b'yachid, a person should not expound on the chariot of God by themselves. Then it says, Elam kon hayachachom u'mevim b'dayti, unless if the guy is intelligent. That means if he's intelligent, he is allowed to. And then you're telling me that he shouldn't do it as an individual. So make up your mind. Can an individual do it or can't he do it? So the Gemara says what the Mishnah means as follows. And the Gemara is going to change the opinion of what we just learned in the simple sense. Hachi kamer, this is what the Gemara means. Ein darshin ba'arayis lishleishim. You cannot teach the Maisa of Arayis even to three people. And the Gemara is going to explain later why not. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. We'll see in the Gemara what it means. Does it mean more than three or not less than three, whatever. You cannot explain it to two other people. That means like this. When we learned the Mishnah, and it says you're not allowed to learn the dinim of Arayis with three people, we thought it meant two and a teacher. And when it says you can't learn two, it means teacher and one. And therefore, when it said Merkavi, you can't learn Yachid, means nobody. So the Gemara says, but the Mishnah says if he's a scholar, he could. So the Gemara learns like this. When it said in the Mishnah, you can't teach the laws of Arayis, Lishleisha means a teacher cannot teach it to three students. Shanaya means not the teacher and a student. The teacher cannot teach it to two students. And Merkava, you can't teach it even to an individual person unless if the student is a chacham, then the teacher could teach it even to the student. That's what the Gemara explained. So now the Gemara asks, why not about all these things? Why can't you learn a chumash class with three people learning, Pasha Achrimes, which you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to marry. So the Gemara says, in Darshan by Arayis B'Shleisha, you're not allowed to learn the laws of Arayis unless if there's three people. The Gemara says, my time, and why not? What's the reason? So the Gemara thought to learn it out from a pasuk. What does the Gemara say? Ilema, if you want to say, because it says in the pasuk, Ish Ish Al Kol She'er B'Sarei. Every person to their relative cannot get married. That's what the pasuk says. So the Gemara says like this: Ish Ish is two. She'er Besarei, a relative, is three. Va'amar Achmon, and the Torah says about this: Leisikrevu legalis erva. You cannot. Simply, it means to reveal the nakedness. So the Gemara thought, you know what the pasuk is teaching us? That if there's three people, you can't reveal the laws of Arayis. You can't reveal it. So Gemara says, we're learning out from a pasuk. It says, Ish Ish, which is two. Kol She'er B'Sari is another one, is three. And the Torah says, Le'sikreva Legalis Erva, don't come close to expound on it. So Gemara says, that can't be. Elameyata, because if that's the case, it says in the pasuk, Ish Ish, Ki Yekala Lelakov, a man, who will curse, God forbid, God. Or, it says, Ish Ish Ashiyite Mizara Lamelech. If a man will give his children to this idol worshipping, where, you burn the kids or whatever. Hachanami, are you going to say it's only forbidden if two people do it together? You're telling me that because it says ish ish, it means two people. So that means every time it says in the Torah, don't curse God, and it says ish ish, means only two people can't curse God, but an individual could? That doesn't make sense. He says, Hachanami, are you going to say that that's what it means? So he says, no. So the question is, Taka, why does it say ish ish? Why does it say the double expression ish ish should not curse God? So the Gemara says, mi boile l'rabbe sesanochrim, to include a goy. One of the seven Noahite laws is a goy cannot curse God. Where do we learn it out from? Because when the Pasuk speaks about a person not cursing God, it says ish ish ki yikalo l'lakov. It says ish twice. One is to teach us a Jew, and the second was to teach us even a goy is not allowed to. Meaning, Shemuzar and Malbirkas Hashem. A goy is warned not to. The Gemara calls it blessing God, but the Gemara means the opposite. Balavei dezara ki Yisrael, that they're warned on the laws of Avei dezara like a Jew. So if so, Hainami, so therefore maybe by adultery also. Miboile, when it says, Ishish by Arayis, I would think it means Larabis Asanochrim, to include the goyim, because Muzarim al Arayis ki Yisrael. Because the goyim are always also obligated in adultery too. It's one of the seven Noahide laws. So the question is, and therefore the Gemara says when it says ish ish al kol she'er besari, it means a Jew and a goy. By the way, there's different dinim. You know, there's certain relatives a goy is allowed to marry that a Jew can't. It's not all the same forbidden. But adultery and things like that applies to a guy, just like to a Jew. So the Gemara's question, going back to the original question of the Gemara, from where do we learn out that you cannot teach the laws of adultery to three people? Because it says, ish, ish, I use that for something else. It teaches us to include a guy, that a guy cannot commit adultery. A guy cannot curse God. A guy cannot worship idols. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you a different source. It says in the Pasuk, Ushmartem es mishmarti, you should watch my watchings. Meaning, it says, Hashem says you should observe my gates, my fences around the Torah. So he says, Ushmartem, the word shmartem is plural, is two. Mishmarti is another one. And the Torah says, V'amir achmona, and the Torah says, what about it? That you cannot do these disgusting practices, meaning three people together cannot study this law. The Gemara is trying to figure out where do we see in Chumash that three people cannot learn together the laws of Arayis. Okay, so now it says, Elamiyat, if that's the case, it says in the Torah, Ushmartem is a Shabbos. You have to keep Shabbos, plural. Ushmartem is a matzis, and you have to watch the matzis to make sure they don't become chomistic. And it says, Ushmartem is Mishmeres HaKadosh. You have to watch the protection of the Beis HaMikdash. Hachanami, are you going to say that it only refers to two people? Only two people have to keep Shabbos, and one person doesn't? Only one person has to watch the matzah. I mean, two people have to keep matzah, not one. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says you can't learn out from these psukim that you can't learn arayis by three people. Because the psukim are used for other dinim. So the Gemara is going back to the original question. From where do we learn that you're not allowed to teach the laws of adultery to three people? Where do we learn it out from? So the Gemara says, the Gemara learns differently. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi answers, "My ein darshim barayis b'shleisha." What does it mean? You can't teach arayis from three. You can't teach adultery to three people. It doesn't mean that. It means ein darshim b'sisrei arayis b'shleisha. You can't teach the hidden details of adultery, and we'll soon see what that means. But the Gemara says you can't teach the secrets of adultery to three people. Rashi learns, what does that mean? The laws of the Torah the laws of adultery that are not explicit in Chumash. For instance, Rashi gives a few examples. If a guy rapes a woman, makes her pregnant, so she has a kid, how do you know he can't marry that daughter? So it doesn't say that explicitly in Chumash. But we learn it out. So he said, the secrets of it, you can't teach. Okay?
What is M. Kamal? The mother?
The mother of his mother-in-law. In other words, it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash, you can't live with your mother-in-law's mother. It says you can't live with your mother-in-law. It says you can't live with your father-in-law. Right? But it doesn't say anywhere another generation up. But the Gemara learns it out. I mean, it's forbidden. The Gemara learns it out. He said, these dinim, you can't teach to three people. And the Gemara is going to say, why not? My timer, the Gemara says. Svaruhu, it's logic. And it's very interesting, the way they used to learn in the olden times. You'll see the Gemara. Beitrei ki yosve kamer abayu. When two students are sitting with the Rebbe, he says as follows. When one is discussing with the Rebbe, one student's like asking and answering with the Rebbe. So the other one has nobody to talk to, so he listens what they're arguing. If there's another guy there, if there's three students, what's going to happen? One kid is going to be talking to the teacher. They're going to talk to themselves. Not about sports. They're going to talk about the Gemara, but they're not listening what the Rebbe is saying, and they're going to misinterpret the Gemara without understanding what the Rebbe said. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. To two people, you could teach it. Why? Because when the Rebbe is talking to one student, the other student will listen to the discussion and hear what the Rebbe says. But if there's three students, we're afraid one student is going to ask the Rebbe a question. The Rebbe is going to answer him. The other two students are talking in the learning between themselves. They're not going to listen to what the Rebbe says. They'll misinterpret Torah, and they'll do things which are wrong. So according to the Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara says you could do it with one, you could do it with two, but not with three or more. Remember you asked me, is it three or more, whatever. So you see from the Gemara's answer now that it means three or more. It's forbidden. Right. You're very smart. The Gemara asks you a question. The Gemara's going to ask, is there anything in Torah like that? You learn about Shabbos. Right? One kid will talk to the Rebbe, the other two kids will be talking, they won't hear what the Rebbe said, they could also make a mistake. But let's first discuss a little bit what it means here, Sisrei Arayos. Rashi learns, like we said, those relations that the Torah doesn't discuss. Taisis Rid, it means the secrets of the forbidden unions. What does it mean? There are certain leniencies that can't be publicized because they'll be misinterpreted.
Loopholes?
Yeah. And if you teach certain loopholes, like he says, the people, the ignorant, will misconstrue them and permit what's forbidden. The Mashal explains, so there's three interpretations here. Mashal explains another interesting thing. Sisrei Arayos means the esoteric rationales for forbidden unions. 22 in Chagiga. Why they're forbidden, the secrets of it. Because if you teach the people the secrets of the forbidden unions, they might come to be lenient and do certain relations which are forbidden. So basically, Gemara says as follows. You can't teach the secrets of adultery to three or more people. What are the definition of secrets of adultery? Either those things the Torah doesn't mention clearly, or the loopholes, or the secrets of what it means. three or more people.
At one time.
Yeah. In other words, the Gemara said, the laws you could teach, but clearly in Chumash. That's not a problem, you can learn it in a class.
But not the secrets of it.
You know, there's certain things in Halacha, you have to learn one-on-one. You can't learn it in a public setting. A lot of issues, marital relations, I mean, all these things. You can't learn it in a public setting because people here have things. And, you know, you have to learn it one-to-one. And that's what really what the Mishnah is referring to. There's certain things. I'll give you an example. If you remember, we mentioned, like, what are these secrets of the forbidden relations? We discussed in the past. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Mashiach, all come from things which are forbidden to do. They're born, like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would be born after Matan Torah, would be a mamzer. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's father married an aunt. A man cannot marry his aunt. An uncle can marry a niece, like we learned. But a nephew is not allowed to marry an aunt. And if a nephew marries an aunt, and they have a kid, the kid's a mamzer. Okay? Now, it means Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, before Matan Torah, obviously it's allowed. There's no problem with it. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, it's interesting, the Gemara, the Medrash says that Amram and Yocheved divorced by Matan Torah. They were not allowed to stay married because it was a nephew with an aunt. They had to divorce. So the question, Moshe Rabbeinu is born from a relationship, granted it wasn't forbidden because it was before Matan Torah, but still it was a forbidden relationship. Where does David HaMelech HaMashiach come from? Light and his two daughters. Incest, Light and his two daughters, created Amin and Mayav, and Yehuda and Tamar, which was father-in-law and daughter-in-law, which was also forbidden, created Boaz, who married Rus, and comes David HaMelech, comes Mashiach, and all that. So, what? No, so what's the concept? So there's secrets in it. The secrets are, some marriages are too great for the normal world to handle. And that's why it's forbidden. Sometimes, the Torah forbids, and this is the mystical aspect of it, sometimes the Torah forbids certain things because it's too great for the world to be able to handle it. So certain things, Hashem does by hook or by crook, to make it happen. To make it happen in a way that it works.
So that we learn it in
Huh?
We learn about this stuff in classes.
You mean how these things apply today?
Yeah.
Because it's... listen, there used to be things of Torah that were not allowed to be revealed anytime. And yet they're revealed today. To learn about God would before creation, higher than world, you have to, that's what Chassidus is all about. There's certain times you're not allowed to. The Gemara is going to discuss later. We'll see the details of it. Okay, so the Gemara says, what's the problem? Two people are going to, the Rebbe is going to be talking. So if it's two people, the guys will listen to each other. If it's three people, then one guy will be talking to the Rebbe, two guys will be talking between themselves, and they'll come to misinterpret the whole din. So the Gemara asks now your question, Hachi, call out Torah Nami. So the whole Torah should also be like that, you shouldn't learn. Why should you be able to learn Shabbos with three people? One guy's going to be talking to the Rebbe, two guys are going to be talking between themselves, and they'll make mistakes. So the Gemara says, Aroy Yishani. Why are forbidden unions different? Because I'm married, because the Gemara says in the Mishnah, Gezel v'arayis nafshi machamadosim esav lahem. Theft, hey. Theft, gezel, and adultery are desirable sins. So you're more apt to make a mistake to hear what you want, than in other cases. So over there, the Gemara says, you have to be stricter. Stealing. Because the overwhelming, like the Mefarshim say, he's not going to decide, he will like we said before, he's going to try to find any leniency possible to be able to do it.
What was the third one? Theft, adultery, and something else?
No, that's it. Just two Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Ihochi gezel nami, so then the same law should apply to stealing. You shouldn't be allowed to teach the laws of stealing to three people either. So the Gemara answers, Adayis, bein befana, bein shali befana, nafesh yitzri. It says like this, by adulterous relations, the desire is there whether the person's in front of you or not. Gezel, but by stealing, you only want to steal if you see the object. If you don't see the object, you don't want to steal it. By forbidden relations, it's there anyway. Whether you want it or not, you're going to want it. So he says, shalei befanav le'nafish yitzri. So therefore, there's more compelling reason that by adultery and those types of things, the person will want to find a leniency that he wouldn't be able to find in another case. So therefore, the Gemara says he can't teach it to three people because the Rebbe might end up talking to one guy. The other two guys will start talking between themselves. They'll hear half a word. And by the way, I want you to know, this goes on, I can testify myself, this goes on by classes, especially in halacha, especially by women. When you teach a class, and you're talking to halachas, they start discussing what you're talking about between themselves. They don't hear what you say. They only hear half things what you say. It happens very often. And then they misquote you. That's exactly what the Gemara is talking about here. Because sometimes one person could be talking to the teacher and then the other people start talking between themselves, thinking what the teacher said, and they're going to come to make a mistake. Okay. 7 lines to the bottom of the page. Now the Gemara continues to the next part of the Mishnah. So basically, the first part of the Mishnah said, you can't teach the laws of adultery, as the Gemara is saying, the secrets of adultery, if it's three people or more. You have to do it 1 to 2 or 1 to 1. And then it says, v'lei b'maisa bereishis, you're not allowed to teach the maisa bereishis, meaning creation, b'shnaim, even with 2 students. And the Gemara said that means 1 teacher and 2 students. You're not allowed to teach it. So the Gemara says, Minohani Mili, from where do we learn this out from? You know, why shouldn't you be able to learn it? It's Torah, why shouldn't you be able to learn it? So it says, it's on the Rabbanu, because Rabbanu learned. It says as follows, Ki sha'al nolu yamim rishenim, for you'll inquire about the early days, meaning, and the sha'al is singular. Which means that if you want to know about the early days, meaning before creation, the Torah says only if you're an individual can you ask. Yochid shoyel, an individual is allowed to ask to the teacher. Vein shnayim shoyelim, but 2 people not. So the Gemara says, Yochol yishol edom adam kedem shenivra ha'ilam. So I could think a person could even ask, what was there before the world was created? Talmud Leimer, the Torah says, no, that you're not allowed to ask. Why? Because it says, L'min hayayim asher bara alikim adam al ha'aretz, from the day Hashem created a person on earth, that's what the Pasuk continues, that's what you can ask about. What does the Pasuk say? In case you're going to ask about what happened in the earlier days, from the days God made man on earth. Which means, what are you allowed to ask about? Only after creation. You're not allowed to ask what was before creation. Okay? So it says, Yachol Ayushal Adam Isheshis Mebreshis. So therefore, I would think you can only start from the 6th day of creation when Adam was created. How do I know you're allowed to ask from the first days of creation also, the first 6 days of creation? Talmud Leimer, it says, Asher Hayu Lefanachu, which were before you. Meaning, the Torah is saying, you're allowed to ask from the days of man, and the days earlier. But what does it mean? From the time of creation. But you're not allowed to learn what was going on before creation.
Is that why they didn't allow Kabbalah to be done?
Correct. Until a certain time, all these mystical things, and the Gemara is the next 4 pages is full of this stuff, by the way. I thought that this Gemara is the basis for a lot of aspects in Chassidus. And the Gemara says in those days, it wasn't appropriate for people to learn it. As we know, even Kabbalah was only for the limited few. And then the Arizal came and said, Mitzvah Legali, Zeis HaChachma. It's a mitzvah to reveal this Chachma. The Zayad was hidden for 1,000 years almost. The Zayad that Rav Shimon Yochai wrote was revealed hundreds of years ago, not the thousand, the over 1,000, or 1,500, 2,000 years ago that Rashbi lived. Yeah, it was hidden. It wasn't, the masses didn't have it. No, they didn't have, it wasn't revealed in the book form that we have desire today. So it says, okay, Yochel, now the Braisa continues, Yochel Yishel Adam Mala Maila, Umala Mata Mala Panum Mala Achor, I would think you can ask, what's above? What's below? Meaning above world, below world. What was before? What's after? Talmud Lamed Taita says no. What can you ask about? Miksei Hashemayim, Vaksei Hashemayim. From one end of the heaven to the other end of the heaven. Meaning not beyond that. And meaning Miksei Hashemayim, Vaksei Hashemayim Tashoyel. Ve'inat Tashoyel Malamayla Malamata. You're not allowed to ask from what's before or what's after. Malapanim, malachor, you know, to ask what's above it, what's below it, what's before it, and what's after it. Okay, by the way, it's interesting, we should discuss this over here also. It's a whole thing over here. The obvious questions, how do you learn Kabbalah? He asked the question, he brings it down over here, all the various different opinions. So then how could you go learn Kabbalah? And he says, in a fascinating, plainly written monograph, Tzadik HaKohen discusses many of the central issues surrounding the study of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ma'aseh Merkava, and Kabbalah. He says, Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ma'aseh Merkava are differently completely than Kabbalah. Here, they ask a question. There are currently over 3,000 works of Kabbalah that have been published, all by men of great tzaddikim. How could they have ignored our Mishnah that teaches you can't teach Ma'aseh Bereishis, you can't teach Ma'aseh Merkava? That is Kabbalah.
You could teach, but only to one or two, whatever it says in the Mishnah.
He says the basic people don't know what they're talking about, so it's not even inquiring into it. He calls it dibbish. Yeah. A person who writes a book is similar to a person who thinks to 1,000 people. The Rishonim were indeed, he writes, the Rishonim were indeed extremely cautious in what they wrote on these issues. However, what's someone's finding rationale for the later generations? So he says you could write down one's vision of Ma'aseh Merkava because it's gibberish to something else. But the pearl, I believe the other answer of this is that nowadays this whole thing doesn't apply. In that respect, certain things that are expounded about by Torah, that you're allowed to learn. You can't go into aspects that Torah doesn't discuss.
Like?
Things that are impossible to understand.
Chassidus.
No. Chassidus you're able to understand.
What the
definition of above time and place is. You talk about it, but I'm saying to go into it to think you can understand it, that you can't. Okay. I mean, it discusses the whole thing about, listen, one of the biggest problems they had with the Rambam is Meir Nevuchim, got to the perplexed. Many people came out, you're not allowed to learn the Meir Nevuchim. And then they came to the conclusion when you're 40 you could learn it. Because the Rambam, got to the perplexed, Meir Nevuchim, asks questions of basic fundamental belief. And then he goes into long answers. So it says, someone might read the book, they'll understand the question, but not the answer. Because the questions are easy to understand than the answer. So that what comes out from this whole thing? You remain with the question without the answer. So that's a problem. So they say that when you became 40, you have already understanding, then you're allowed to do it. But the Arizal writes, mitzvah legalizes a chochma. In his days, it was a mitzvah to reveal all these secrets of the Torah, even though the Mishnah says you shouldn't.
But when you say a 40, a boor is a boor when he's 20 or if he's 40. You mean a learned person who's learning all the time.
But even in his boorishness, he's less boor. The Mishnah says, ben aborim labina. When you get 40, you get a little more mature. Just from the aging process.
If you learn tomorrow at age 15, then maybe at age 40 you
mature. Listen, the Mishnah says to learn Mishnah 10 and Gemara 15, right? The kids at 8, 9 years old are learning Gemara already. It's a different thing because in those days the Gemara was all oral. So you needed a greater maturity level to be able to learn all this stuff oral without a book in front of you. So then you have to wait until 15. But in the same thing, on all these things, the time demands that these things were revealed. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, and again, the upcoming Gemara, we have to take, like they say, with a grain of salt, because the question is, does the Gemara mean it simply? Does the Gemara mean it spiritually, or what the Gemara means? But now the Gemara asks the question, now that the Gemara learns out from the pasuk from one end of the heaven to the next of the heaven, that you're not allowed to learn before or after. Okay? Top of the page of Yud Beis. So why do I need the pasuk that says, from the day God made man on earth? Before the Gemara used that pasuk to teach me, you're only allowed to learn from that time on. You can't study before creation. But now the Gemara says we learn it out when the pasuk continues and says, from one end of the heaven to the next end of the heaven. So now you already know you can't go above and beyond, you can't go higher and lower. So why do I need the pasuk when it says, "Leminayim ashebara lekim Adam ala oret," the God from the day God created Adam on earth? So he says, "Kad Rabbi Lozer." What does Rabbi Lozer say? Gotta listen to this. Adam arishin min haoret ad l'rakiyah. Adam arishin, when it was created, stood from earth to the heaven. That's how tall he was. He went all the way from earth to heaven. Shenemar, where do we learn it out from? Because it says, "Neminayim ashebara lekim Adam al haaretz," from the day God created man on earth, and then the pasuk continues, "The mikseya shemayim," right to the end of the heaven. So the Gemara learns, what does the pasuk say? That God created Adam on earth, and he extended all the way up to the heaven. Kivin shesarach. Once when he's literally, sarach means he soured, meaning he sinned. Haniyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yadav Olav. Hashem put his hand on him, smashed him down, and Umiyati made him less. But by the way, what's less, the Gemara is going to say? He was still 100 Amos. It's 150 feet tall. Okay. Shenema, because it says, Achor v'kedem satani, later and earlier you formed me, v'tasha salai kapech, and you put your palm on me. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. So the question, what does David HaMelech mean? You formed me before and later, or rather, you formed me later and before, and you put your palm on me. So the Gemara said, this is what it means. Adam and Eve went all the way up to the sky. So first he was created like that. Then God put his palm on him and smashed him down. And then he became 100 Amos. As the Mefarshim say over here, it's a level. It does not necessarily mean literally. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean this Gemara literally. It means from one end of the heaven, meaning he was able to comprehend. This is how some Mefarshim learn. What does it mean he stood from earth to heaven? So it doesn't mean he was, 500 miles, I don't know, whatever it is, tall. It means that he was able to understand, because Adam means understanding, everything from earth all the way up to the highest of heavens. Meaning he was able to understand everything. then God limited him, who they had a lesser understanding. Another opinion says, what does it mean that Adam and Ishu was standing from the earth to the heaven? It means he is a microcosm of all creation. That means everything in the world is found in Adam. In fact, there's a passage that says, Ha'elam nasan b'libay, that God put the world into the heart of the person. And that's why there's a medrash that says, everything you find in the world, you find in a person. Like you have grass, vegetation, that's the hair. In the body, there's water. Anything you have in the world, you have in the person.
Question. What? If you had the knowledge from earth to heaven,
why did he say?
What was the concept of tree of knowledge being forbidden and all that? If he already had the knowledge.
It's a good question. But it probably that would have given him even a bigger level of understanding. By the way, there's another interpretation here which coincides with what Chassidus explains. It says over here, what does it mean Adam and Ishu was from the earth to the heaven? It means all the elements of heaven and earth from the beginning of world history to its end were contained within him. It says in Kabbalah that Adam and Ishu had within him the neshamis of all the Jews of all generations were included in Adam and Ishu. You know, yeah, he says, okay, whatever. No, but obviously this Gemara cannot be taken literally that Adam Rishon stood, and even if he was 150 feet tall, 100 Am is 150 feet tall. I mean, you know, it's pretty big. So now the Gemara says, oh, no one said, Amir Rav Yehuda, now there's another statement of Rav Yehuda, Amir Rav. Adam Rishon, Miseifa Elam Matseifa. Adam Rishon reached from one end of the world to the next. That means, not from earth to heaven. When Adam and Ishan lay down, he took up the whole earth. The whole thing of the earth. Shenema, because it says, Lemin ayem asher bara lekim Adam al aretz, from the day that God created Adam on earth, l'mikseh ha-shemayim v'akseh ha-shemayim, from one end of the world to the next. So kivin shesarach. Now that he sinned, aniach ha-kadosh baruch yodi olav, Hashem put his hand on him, and shortened him. That you put your palm on me. So there's two opinions in the Gemara that were explaining the same pasuk. One says from earth to heaven, and one says he took up the whole diameter of the earth. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, the pasuk is contradicting himself, because one part of the pasuk alludes to the fact that he existed from heaven to earth, and another pasuk says he existed from one end of the earth to the next. So how could that be? So Gemara says not a problem. It's the same thing. From one end of the world to the next is the same distance as from the earth to the heaven. What? Because they ask a question, it can't be. Because they ask a very simple question. Geometry question. If this is Adam Rishon, and he's standing on earth, and if he lay down, so it only covered the radius of the earth, not the diameter of the earth. Right? That means he took up the radius of the earth. So let's say they give a number. Let's say the earth is 25,000 miles. So then he stood only 12,500. Because he was in the middle of the earth. He had to stand somewhere. If he laid down, he went to the other end of the earth. So that's basically the radius of the earth. And if you're saying that's the same distance as from the earth to the heaven, so then the earth to heaven is only half the distance of the entire earth. And that's not what the Gemara is saying. Right? This is a... Well, no, the Gemara says it was...
Well,
it
was
no, so it says, so basically the answer, that doesn't mean the radius. It means if you would lay down, it would be in any direction, so therefore it would be the diameter, not the radius. But the question... But one thing is for sure. According to Teira, in the earliest discussions of the Gemara, even before, what was the name of the guy that discovered the world is round?
Columbus.
Galileo, I think. Before, the Gemara in Psochim, when it speaks about the earth, the Gemara uses the expression Kadur Ha'aretz. The Gemara says Kadur Ha'aretz means the ball of the earth. The Gemara always said from day one that the earth is round. According to Teira, there was never a thought that the earth is flat, you're going to fall off. No, there was never such a concept. Teira always talked about Kadar Arutz. So Teira, you know, always talked about these things. So he said, the outer sphere is much larger than the inner sphere, so the distance between the surface of the inner sphere to the outer sphere is also 12,500. So the two spheres is together is 25,000, which would be the space to heaven. So the Gemara says, when Adam, in each one opinion says, stood from earth all the way to the heaven, the other opinion says, when he lay down, he covered the whole earth, and the Gemara says the same thing. But then afterwards, Hashem shrunk him. What's possible? You know what? To say that Hashem couldn't have created Adam and Eve that big is ridiculous, because if he made the universe, he definitely could have put Adam and Eve that big. It just sounds funny to us to say that Adam and Eve stood that tall. He needed pretty big clothing. You know? Huh? Not that tall, extra tall and big. No, but after the Chet Tzedas, even when Hashem shrunk into 100 Amis, he still needed clothing.
Grape leaf.
Grape leaf. It was a pretty big grape leaf then. A tree. You need more than a tree. But again, the Mefarshim say, obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean that Adam and Eve was physically that big. It means he understood all the concepts from heaven to earth. He understood everything from beginning of creation to the end of creation. You know, they have all these types of things. Okay, let's just start the next piece of Gemara. This is easier. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Asara Dvarim Nivru B'Yayim Rishin. Now, if you learn Chumash, it says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and he asked somebody, what did God create on the first day? So the Pasuk said, V'yomer Lekim Yehi Ard, let there be light. The Gemara is explaining over here, there were 10 things created on the first day. What were they? Shamayim Va'aretz, heaven and earth. Toil Va'vayu. The Gemara is going to explain later what this means. Astonishment and bafflement and emptiness. Erd v'cheshech, light and dark. Ruach ha-mayim, breath, air and water. Midas yem and midas laila, the length of day and the length of night. The Gemara is going to go on to prove each one of these things that we know they were created in the first day. But one thing over here is a very interesting thing. It says because when you learn the Chumash without this Gemara, what did it say in the second pasuk? The earth was teil v'vayu, empty and void. V'cheshech al pnei sahim, and there was darkness. Right? V'ruach alakim rachavis al pnei amayim, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. So now the question is, darkness was there before creation? Because what does the pasuk say? The earth was empty and void, and there was darkness. So does that mean God didn't create darkness, but darkness existed? Or did it mean that God actually created darkness? So the Gemara is saying over here that God actually created the emptiness. Because again, even though the Mishnah says he can't discuss it, we don't know what emptiness means. When we walk into a room and see a room empty, we say, oh, the room's empty. But the room's not empty. There's air, and there's air waves, and there's who knows what's going on in the room. Not only that, there's a whole shaila in halacha, what is darkness? It's even a controversy in halacha. What is darkness? Is darkness the absence of light? Or is darkness actually a creation? Here the Gemara says clearly, God created darkness. It's created on the first day. But you don't have to go to the Gemara. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that we say every day in our davening. Right after Baruchu, what is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Yetzer Er Uvarei Cheshech. God formed light and created darkness. But the Torah doesn't say God created darkness. All the Torah says is God said let there be light. So Rav Yehuda Merav is saying there are actually 10 things Hashem created on the first day. Heaven and earth are created on the first day. And by the way, heaven and earth means everything in the heaven and everything in the earth were created on the first day. And the Medrash Taka says, and Rashi brings this down to Chumash, that on the first day of creation, the sun, the moon, everything was made. It says in the Chumash, on Wednesday, God said, let there be a sun. That's the day God hung up the sun in the sky. But he created everything on the first day. So here the Gemara is saying, what are the 10 things? Heaven and earth, toe and vo, light and dark, air and water, and the length of a day and a night.
Darkness existed, it had to be created. It just doesn't exist out of nowhere.
Well, if there's no light, maybe there's darkness.
There's still something.
Well, what is it?
It's a creation.
The Rebbe explains that the both are right. There's a level of darkness which is an absence of light. Like if you close the lights in the room, right? It's dark. Doesn't mean there's a dark. There's no light, so it's dark. Then there's a level of darkness that's actually creation. Like the plague of darkness was an actual creation of darkness.
That's the darkness in the
Well, we'll see if they continue the Gemara.